the problems, the only problem really is a problem of identity. Who am I? Who am I identifying with? And the wrestling with a problem reminded me of Jacob. And so this morning I was looking at Jacob's ladder and looking at that whole story. And in a way it is a picture of this living between two worlds. It is an early example of the relationship, you might say, between that spirit, that developing spiritual nature and material sense. And if you remember the story, Jacob and Esau were twins. So they're basically, they're born at the same time. And this is that dualistic nature of life that we, that is apparent to us. And Esau was the oldest of the twins. He came out a couple of seconds before Jacob. And so it was his right in that culture to get the blessing of the father, which meant that he got all of the benefits. He got the wives and the flocks and all of the other stuff, and the second son had to go off and make his way in the world on his own and basically start a new tribe or a new family or whatever it was going to be. But the mother and the female, the mother is a very important aspect in all of the mythology that depicts the spiritual dimension of life, because the mother represents wisdom, represents insight, intuition, that non-reasoned awareness of what is right. And she had the sense that Jacob had the more developed spiritual consciousness, that he was more receptive and in tune to the spiritual nature of life than Esau. Therefore, Jacob should get the blessing of the father. So she and Jacob deceived the father because he was blind. Isaac was blind, and Jacob was rather hairless, and Esau had very hairy arms, and so they tricked the father. They put a sheepskin on Jacob's arm, and they went to the father and said, "It's time for the blessing." And he said, "Well, which one are you?" And he touched his arm. He said, "Oh, yes, you are Esau." So he gave him the blessing. When Esau came in from the fields and wanted his father's blessing, the father said, "Oh, I can't give it to you. I already gave it. I can only give one blessing." So that really angered Esau. I mean, so suddenly we've got this repeat of Cain and Abel. We've got this brother consciousness. One gets the blessing and he doesn't deserve it according to the human law. The other is really mad, and so he goes off in a huff and takes all of his people, and, you know, we have conflict. Now, isn't that's the human picture. That's, you're disappointed, it's unfair, it's unjust, the wrong guy got the job. You can just go down the list, the human picture. So we fast forward now 20-some years, and Jacob and Esau are going to meet. And they've been living in different countries, and now they're coming with their tribes. They all have many wives, lots and lots of children, all of their flocks and all of their servants and their warriors. And Jacob is really frightened because he's guilty. He feels, yeah, I stole my brother's birthright, and my brother is just gonna slaughter me. And so he has this dream, and in this dream there's this ladder going up and down to heaven, and there are these angels going up and down. And so it's Jacob that has the awareness, the sense that there's a spiritual nature, there's a spiritual dimension to life, but still he doesn't know what to do. This hasn't informed him of anything more than that there is this spiritual dimension existent, and that mankind, that Jacob has access to it. I mean, there's a ladder, he could climb up to heaven if he had the guts, but he's pretty frightened. This world is a scary place, and heaven is even scarier because the concept of God was very violent. This was a vengeful God who would punish those who betray him. So they're going to meet, And Jacob is so afraid of this meeting that he takes half his household, half of his wives, half of his children, and hides them away and only goes to meet half of them. His reasoning being that if Esau, you know, attacks us, I'm only going to lose half my family. I'll still have half my family left and we can escape. Isn't that human reasoning? Always planning for the worst, always trying to put something aside. So they're ready to meet. There's this river that is dividing the two camps. And Jacob goes away from the part of the family that he's kept with him, and he's by himself, and has there's this man that comes to him, and this man starts wrestling with him. And this man is not of this earth. This man really, in my sense, this man is his Christ nature, basically grabbing a hold of him and saying, you know, you're an idiot. Wake up. Don't you know who you are? Don't you know what this blessing means? And Jacob is wrestling with him, and he won't let go until that he finds out who this man is. Who are you? And even this man wrestling wants to let go because the daylight is coming, and he doesn't want to be exposed in the light of this conflicting human world. We don't really see the Christ when we are in the midst of the human conflict. We only see the Christ, and that's why it's done at night or in a dream. We only see the Christ when we're away from this apparent obvious world of two powers. Then we realize there is another dimension, and how is this dimension going to work in my daily life? Well, Jacob really wanted to know because he was afraid he was going to get killed. And this person that he was wrestling with, this angel, he hit him in the thigh, crippled him. So, you know, he couldn't walk well. And that was kind of the mark of this wrestling, is that you become crippled in a way in this world. And how many of us going in this world, trying to apply spiritual principles in this world, feel vulnerable? We feel the powerful of this world that know all the tricks, that have all of the skills to function, to maneuver, to operate. We seem inferior to them if we're not using those means. And if we try to use those human means of human power and human wisdom and manipulation and all of that, we fall on our face. It never works if we have chosen to be part of the spiritual way of living, of being in the world but not of it. And I think when you see there are men, prominent men, who have had a touch of spiritual nature, and when they violate it, their fall is so big, and they haven't done anything more heinous than any of the other people working in politics or big corporations or whatever. But what they've done is they violated that spiritual integrity. And when that spiritual integrity is violated, then their whole human empires crumble, because they knew the truth. And they were obligated. In a way, they were crippled in this world, and they couldn't use worldly means. They had to be true to that spiritual nature. So Jacob is crippled in this world, but he finds his name. His name is changed. His name is changed to Israel. And Israel really means God with us. It is the I. From Jacob to I, this Christ nature within us, is that which wounds us in this world, so to speak, but it also gives us the power of the spiritual dimension. It gives us the power of God if we know what the power of God is and how it functions in this world. It's a power that can't be used. If we try to use God power in this world to heal a disease or to conquer an enemy, we find that we are violating a basic spiritual law, which is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. Now that's from the Old Testament. That's not Jesus. That's an age-old principle known to mankind, that when this spiritual nature is awakened in us, that we have another way of dealing with the world. And if we are true to that, we are successful in living between two worlds. If we violate that, we get our egos knocked about and we have to regroup and start again. It's not that it's punishment. It's not that we've done anything wrong to bring, you know, pain and suffering upon us. It is that if we have, through ignorance, violated our spiritual integrity, which we are aware of because we know this presence, then we suffer the consequences. Israel then, Jacob Israel, went to meet his brother, and it was the most harmonious, loving reunion that you could imagine. He had no hard feelings toward his brother, Esau did. Actually, Esau blessed his brother. He said, you know, if I had received that blessing, it would have been horrible. I am so grateful that I could go off and take my flocks and go off to Moab or wherever they were living and start, you know, a whole new tribe, a whole new family. And I am so happy and I'm so grateful that we've come together and we can be partners. We are friends. We're brothers. And all of the worry, all of the fear, all of this planning, all of this scheming that was coming out from that human nature of Jacob was for naught. Because when that spiritual realization came into being, all that there could exist in a relationship was love. That's all that there was.